So I'm excited about this morning. God gave me a message. I don't know exactly what it is because I was telling Nathaniel, those who know me long enough, when God gives me a direct from heaven kind of message, it's from the scripture, it's totally Bible, no question. I know Holy Spirit, he gave me the whole book of Hebrews, and there's no way that would take like 4 years to teach, but we're really going to see him as the high priest. And if you really see him as the high priest and you get this morning, then you will know that you can go to God anytime you want and he will give you the promises that are in his word. He will do it. He will be your protector. He will take care of you. He will take care of everything. And so, you know, Lord was speaking with me because sometimes as you walk, I've walked with God like, oh my gosh, since I was 7, I got saved, hadn't my first encounter with God at 12, didn't understand all that much because didn't go to that kind of church. And then really went after God. When I got pregnant with my first child, Lauren, which would be 33 years ago. That's when I got hungry. And let me tell you, for 33 years, I have not, for even a week, not been more hungry for God than I was the week before. So don't buy, and I've never had a dark season of the night, even though I've been through more stuff than most people have. God never quits talking. His name is the Word, amen? We quit hearing because we get out of his will. We get away from being in right standing with him, and all of a sudden we think he's not talking. And honestly, if you go back to the last thing he was saying that you didn't listen to and repent for not listening, you'll hear him again that quickly. And if you get rid of man-made doctrine and doctrine of demons that try to make us look so faithful and him look so faithless, you'll be amazed at how your life will completely, completely change. We serve the most faithful God that's possible. He, the Bible says in Hebrews, he is not a man that he can lie. So don't over-focus on Jesus being a man. I don't understand this over-focus on Jesus being a man, but I'm hoping as we look at him as the high priest, we'll understand why he came as a man, at least one of the reasons he came as a man. Amen? I think it's very cool that God came in flesh. Amen? Everything that God was, he put in flesh and dwelt among us. And he chose not to walk in his deity as power. He chose not to. It wasn't that he couldn't. He chose not to. He chose to do this thing as a man, still led by the Spirit of God. Amen? Jesus chose to show us what we were going to get to enter into in a new covenant. The old covenant, they were not able to be led by the Spirit of God. Okay? In the old covenant, there were special visitations from angels and special visitations of the Spirit of the Lord and the Lord himself in the case of Moses to always stay connected to the people that God created in his image and his likeness, because he's always, always been after one thing. God is after a family. God is after a family. It's like the whole world is this gigantic orphanage. And Daddy wants everybody. But in his idea of orphanage, you have to want him. That's it. You are successful the minute you find him. Whoa, you are extremely, completely successful. You are set for life, eternal life, the minute you find him. Wow. And then as we get into the new covenant, the new covenant is not about good works. Does everybody get it that the fall of mankind happened because Adam and Eve ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil so they could decide what was good and they could decide what was bad and they could decide what the program should be this morning and they should decide what music should play today and they should decide where they should work and they should decide, and that was the fall. And in the new covenant, for the first time since the fall, if I don't get to the notes, it's all in Hebrews, okay? The new, really read it. In the new covenant, covenant is an agreement. here's the cool thing about this, the covenant. It's between God and man who accept Christ. How many know that God is not going to back down on his part? Amen. How many thinks he's going to be faithful? Extremely, completely. How many thinks he has the power to be faithful? How many thinks he has the finances to be faithful? How many thinks he has the heart to be faithful? How many can know that they can know that his part of the covenant, of the agreement, of the contract is yes and amen? Amen. Okay, so if it's not working out, it's not because God's not faithful. Amen? Okay, if we could just settle that instead of condemnation. People are afraid to settle that. There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. I can know that he is faithful no matter what I'm going through. Amen? And if it doesn't work out like he promises, why? Could I just not understand him? No. Amen? In this covenant, I'm supposed to yield to him. It's called entering the rest. Amen? Entering into the rest. And we're going to get into this in the next couple weeks because people don't get this. Most of the church, that most of the services I go to and most of the things I listen to on TV and most of what I've seen in the church my entire life and I used to operate in is people reading God's word and really Holy Spirit in them. Some of them, a lot of them not, but a lot with the Spirit in them. Amen? So there's an anointing because there is anointing on the Word, and there's anointing in people who have Holy Spirit in them. But then they take and use their brain to try to figure out how to do all this. Amen? Now, see, when we don't use our brains to do it, but we just do what God shows us, then something like this pretty thing they did here got done in a week while we had vacation Bible school without a committee meeting. Why? Because Holy Spirit lived in the artist and Holy Spirit lived in the builder and Holy Spirit gave me the money. Amen? And Holy Spirit had you give and you show up and nobody organized it and we did more in a week than would have normally taken 3 months. That's why I get to go to Hilton Head because I'm not that busy. I'm not that busy. So you're so busy. How do you have 3 services a week and then an early service and do-do-do and the stuff there and go there and there? Y'all, I am so not busy that I almost feel retired. But the biblical term for retirement is entering into the rest. He does it. He says it. He comes out. I don't spend hours. Greg asked me when he first started, he said, how do you put together a service for an hour? How many hours does it take you? I said, none. I could preach for 6 or 7 or 8 hours without notes and no preparation. I'm not boasting. I'm telling you, I live in his presence. I live in his word. He and his word are one, and he dwells in me richly. Amen? And he knows what he wants to say this morning. He knows when he wants to say it and how he wants to say it. He wants people healed in this place. He wants the church to grow up and recognize his part of the covenant is yes and amen. How many would like to learn how to walk in your part of the covenant? Everything that doesn't go according to his will, according to his word, is because we are not walking in understanding and revelation and empowered by his spirit for our part of the covenant. Amen? Here's the hard part. What's our part of the covenant? Rest and do what he tells you. So what's the real part of the covenant? Hear him. To hear him. And it be really him. Amen? To hear him and it be really him. There's nothing that gives you faith for the impossible like hearing God and then knowing it's God. And you will fight your flesh. Amen? You will fight fear. The thing you're fighting is doubt and unbelief. Because as we get into Hebrews over the next month or so, maybe however we do it, today, whatever, we're going to recognize that he says the only thing that stops the people from entering in to the promise of the rest is their unbelief. Your biggest enemy, and really your only enemy, is unbelief. Your only enemy is unbelief. So I think we should be like the disciples who said to Jesus, help our unbelief. I think we should, when we're in a situation, instead of faking it and just saying all the right things, I think it's cool to be honest and say like the disciples or like the man came and said, help my unbelief, Lord. Help my unbelief, Lord. That should be a prayer. If you're in a trial and you haven't gotten a victory yet, his part is yes and amen. Amen? You have a problem with unbelief. Can we get out of condemnation? Is there anybody in here who doesn't think they have a problem with unbelief? I have a problem with unbelief. Nathaniel, do you have any problems with unbelief? Okay, because if you didn't, you could go to the mountain and say, scoot over. Amen? Whoa. Amen? Can we all, let's just be honest. We have a problem with unbelief. Woohoo! And the covenant, when it's not working out, was because we have a problem with unbelief or pure disobedience, which all is surrounded by fear. Amen? Anyway, I had a good time in Hilton Head, and there was this storm, and we had four really nice beach days, and then I wanted to come home, so I didn't tell the storm to go out to sea. Instead, we got in the car and we drove home and we missed the storm. Amen? And everybody can't. God's got to give you that faith, right? There's no Bible promise that you're not going to have rain and some wind. Amen? You know, but when you need to turn a storm for real or be protected in a storm for real, and you can ask the people who go to the Philippines. This is not an unusual thing. We have literally stood on the beach and turned a storm around. We have prayed in the middle of the night and turned a storm around. These are storms that were 5 category, and they were going to wipe us out and kill us if something didn't happen. Amen? We were in that storm. It was October 2 years ago now, and it was a storm of biblical proportions. It was the hugest typhoon or storm in recorded history ever. And I was right on the island where it was supposed to come on shore. I love Nilo. Nilo has so much faith, and I don't think he cares if he dies. I mean, I'm serious. For Nilo to live is Christ. Honest to goodness, I've never personally, except for Heidi Baker that I've met, but not, like, she doesn't know my name. Nilo knows my name. We've had enough fights on the mission field that he knows my name. And we have such respect and honor for each other that he knows my name and I know his name. Amen? And the man, here's this biggest typhoon coming, and he knows he's in covenant. I don't even know if he knows why he knows it, but he knows it. Because he's an evangelist. He's not big on teaching. You know, but he knows Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. And here's this typhoon. And like, oh, we hear there's a storm coming. It'll be nothing. And then we're listening a little bit more. This is like the largest typhoon in recorded history. And here's my faith. I am in a lousy hotel, right? I'm talking like a lousy, don't like this hotel, yucky, get me out of this hotel. And I know there's a very nice hotel 7 hours away on the other side of the beach where we had started on this island. Of course, that's where it was supposed to hit. But I had enough faith to know I want to be in a nice place when this sucker hits. Amen? I want to be on Facebook or something. I do not want to be isolated and stuck somewhere. So I'm like, let's get out of here. Let's go back to the nice hotel. We were the only ones there, just about. And we're praying. And this doesn't happen in the Philippines. They don't prepare for storms because they're used to them. They're preparing for storms. They're cutting down big trees. They're doing stuff preparing for a storm. I'm like, oh my goodness, this is probably really bad. So you just, when you're in covenant with God, and here's what the Lord told me. As you mature in God, you go from being a servant. You start as a servant. You can't skip the message that you're a servant. Amen? He is master. You are servant. Get that down, because he says you cannot love him till you say yes, sir, to him. You cannot love him. You can sing this morning. You can worship. You can fall down. You might even get a word of knowledge. You might even prophesy. But he says, if you love him, you will obey him. But see, everybody has their love language. I don't know who wrote that. But anyhow, but it's got some truth. I mean, I like gifts and cards. And John likes you to work, you know. Cook the man a meal, even not that good of a cook, you know, just and clean the house, have the house clean and food on the table. And John just comes in like, she loves me. Just give me a card that says, you're the, you know, you're the sweetie pie of my life. And oh, honey, I'll cook some more for you. Okay, everybody has their different languages, they say. And I believe that somewhat. What is God's language? Do what I say. Just do what I say. If I say don't fornicate, then guess what? Don't fornicate. If I say don't lie, then don't lie. You're like, wait a minute, wait a minute. Here's the cool thing. If you get in the covenant and you fall in love with him, he makes it so easy not to sin. But he doesn't ask you to wait until it's easy not to sin. He tells you don't sin. Amen? You might have to call friends. You might have to get rid of your remote control. You might have to do all kinds of things. But he means it. Amen? He means it. Because as I obey him and I serve him, it might mean cleaning toilets in church. That's what he had me do. I had to clean. I could prophesy. I always had words of knowledge to make John's look like baby. I mean, baby food. Imagine 16 words of knowledge at one meeting that were like, boom, on. And what does God have me doing? Cleaning the toilets. Every single, no, vacuuming, dusting the whole church, and cleaning the toilets. Don't worry, we pay somebody to do it, and we're cool with that. But, I mean, this entitlement stuff of a generation that we just get to be sons and friends and, find it in the Word. Amen? You obey him because he's boss. Step one. And what happens is he recognizes that you honor him in this covenant. He recognizes that you get it. He recognizes that you are in right standing with him. Amen? Seek first the kingdom of God and his right standing and his righteousness. And he recognizes that. He recognizes you're in right standing with him. And what does he do? He begins to reveal himself more to you. He begins to reveal himself in the Word more. Amen? He begins to reward you because you're diligently seeking him. It's like he makes himself more real. Amen? Not a delusion. Not people who are encountering something but living like the devil. Amen? But you know it's him. You know it's him. He shows you his Word. His Word is awesome. Oh, I love his Word. I love his Word so much that if I had to choose between his Word and almost anything else, I would choose his Word. Of course, his Spirit. His Word is nothing without his Spirit, by the way. Without his Spirit, it's legalism that brings death, but we won't go there. Amen? So when I say I embrace his Word, I can't really embrace his Word unless I have his Spirit. Can you get it in the covenant, in the new covenant? This was not in the old covenant. We'll get to this maybe. You can find it. It's in Hebrews. He says, in the new covenant, I'm going to write my laws in your heart. I'm going to put myself inside of you and teach you from the inside out. I'm going to teach you from the inside out. What an awesome privilege to have his Word in writing still in this nation that they can't take out the parts that people who are hurt and perverted and need freedom from can't take. Look, if they didn't take out the parts about fornication, why are they so trying to take out the parts about homosexuality? Right? I mean, people have been, I'm just being, I don't know why the words come up a lot today, but y'all do. but anyway, do you see what I'm saying? God, if he didn't take out that part because people wanted to give into sin, well, he's not going to take out any other part. Why should our nation have to care about taking it out? They never wanted to change the Bible from that. Right? If you're not a believer, none of it matters. Does everybody get that? You're not in the covenant. If you're not a believer, it doesn't matter what you do. Amen? If you're not a believer, you really can't stop. You can't stop sinning, but you can't be set free from the enemy. Amen? See, when God moves in the new covenant, God calls you his house. He actually calls you his house. He's like, and you want to end the whole ridiculous racism thing really fast? The only houses that are glorious are the ones he's living in. And he likes to live in black houses and brown houses and white houses that make themselves tan, and he likes to live in houses with blue eyes and houses with brown hair that might get gray, and you might want to browner it up anyway. He doesn't care about the decorations and the paint job. Amen? Because he moves into a house, and here's the cool thing. In the new covenant, when he comes in the house, your house is now eternal. There is a God who dwells inside of you forever. Do you want to know how deep and real your relationship with God can get? I remember thinking, God, I don't know if I want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven versus hell. But I said, but when I get to heaven, do I have to stand in line to see you? Because now I can see you whenever I go to the secret place. Now I can hang out with you and feel your presence and hear you. I don't want to go to heaven with millions of people and have to wait in line and hear you on a speaker. And he laughed. He says, Cindy, my spirit will dwell in you forever. And you will have the same communication with me forever, except clearer. With no flesh in the way, with no problems in the way. And then when you see me, you know, in person, you're just going to be talking to me and hanging out with me while everybody else is. How cool is that? He says it's an added bonus. But let me tell you, in the new covenant, if you obey him and you don't harden your hearts, in the new covenant, see, one reason we do Tuesday nights is we got to get you free from delusion. We've got to get you free from hardened hearts. We got to get you free from fear. We have to help build up your faith, amen, so that you don't have unbelief in the way. That's why we do Tuesday nights. That's what Tuesday nights are about, amen? Our Tuesday nights and a lot of our teaching on CDs and all this stuff, it's about helping you get free from what the enemy's done, amen? Led by the Holy Spirit. Why is he doing that? He's doing that because he wants to hang out with you. Whoa. He did not die so you could work for him. Do y'all not know that God is capable of, and the whole world, everything happens, amen? He can make everything just happen. No, he died so that he could hang out with you. Actually, better than hanging out with you, hang out in you. That's why you want to keep your body holy. Amen? I got this holy, holy, holy. Holy means without evil, okay? I got this without evil being living inside of me. Wow. And his job in the new covenant is to be the law in my heart. Amen? And he, in me by recognizing him and understanding him and being enlightened by his word, amen? I also agree with him that I don't want the stuff in there that doesn't belong. Amen? How many want him, not me, not somebody, but God himself to come in? See, when God himself comes in and says, hey, I love you, Arnold. I love you so much, Arnold. Aren't you enjoying having a dad finally? Arnold's like, yeah. He goes, well, Arnold, we got to deal with this. What? We got to deal with this. And then God said, you got to deal with this. And then Holy Spirit will have somebody like me say, you got to deal with this. Amen? And you're like, oh, a confirmation. I got to deal with this. Amen? And then God, in his awesomeness, inside of you says, you know what? Here's what we're going to do. And you're like, oh, I can't do that. man, what will people think if I do that? What will people think if I confess this thing? What will people think if they know I'm struggling here? What will people think? Can I tell you something? Who cares what they think? Amen. It's impossible. How possible? Impossible. Like how possible? Impossible to please man and God. Do you know if I was trying to please my husband, I would not have ever gone to India. I would have never gone to Russia. I would, maybe later, you know, this guy's got a hold of his heart more. But if I was trying to live my life in God based on what my husband wanted, oh, bust some doctrine in the head. Does everybody get this? Eve's desire towards Adam was the curse. Adam working and sweating and working hard to bring home the paycheck was the curse. Am I right? Go look it up in Genesis. I didn't make this up. When Christ came, he became the curse and set us free from the curse, which means that my husband has natural headship. Yes, how cool is that? Somebody's got to have the final say in natural situations, like what neighborhood you're living in and, you know, how much the budget is for groceries. Amen? He's a natural headship. And because God lives in him, he knows I have to lay down everything and think about her first and then the kids. Basically, I have to die to my own agenda. That's Bible. Because the husband represents to the world what Christ is to the church. Think about your marriages and see if you're making people want God. She represents the bride. She represents the one who's just so in love. And of course, she's going to honor this groom. She's going to honor this husband. She's going to respect him. I don't get it for sure, but men like respect and honor because they represent to the world to look at a marriage. See, what does that tell me about what God wants from me? He wants, and we're all the bride, by the way. In the things of God, everybody, there's no male or female, we're all the bride. He wants us to honor him. He wants us to respect and honor him. Amen? He wants us to, he says he's already laid down his life, amen? He's commanded, he's already loved us. He tells the husband, lay down your life and love her. Wow. Lay down your life and love her. And people like to act like sometimes maybe John and I are out of order or whatever. Are you kidding? He's laid down his life of me making lots of money, working in the world. He's laid down his life to support and love me and what God's called me to when he didn't even understand it for years. Amen. And God's had to work that in him. Amen. And this covenant, God works it in you. And I had to lay down all my wrong doctrine of how he should be this and he should be that and he's not as spiritual, blah, 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 and all this judgments. I had to lay all that down, and it took a while and took Holy Spirit working, amen? Does everybody else know this is a process? It's called death to self process. Led by Holy Spirit of the living God, amen? To make us like Christ, amen? Whew. It already makes you know you need to enter the rest to go there. Amen? Help! And for him to put that respect. Here's what I want to. Any believer, do everything not to have a divorce. It honestly is not hard for God to fix anything. God can fix anything. But he's going to start with you, not your spouse. Amen? And there's reasons where when the other person won't go there, but we're not going to get into all that. And he goes, no, it's on teaching back there. Amen? But he's so big, and he's so good, and he's so mighty, and he's so powerful, and he is yes to his covenant. Amen? He's a yes to his covenant kind of God. So you go from servant, master, and then you go to, well, you're infant when you're first saved, okay? There's churches that are infant churches. What do I mean? They never grow up. They look just like the world. If you hang out with Christians, like at school, is seeing you, and they look just like the world, they still could be Christians. They might be infants. Because the Bible says that there's infant Christians. They're born again, but they're tossed everywhere. Whatever the world's doing, they're doing. They're voting however the world's voting. They're okay with whatever the world. They're infants. They're in there. They're in the Bible. Amen? But the devil's going to beat the tar out of them until they decide they want to grow up. Amen? And then there's infants. And then there's the Bible in John. It says, there's children. Enjoy being a child when you're a child. Amen? Enjoy it. Don't try to make somebody not a child when they're a child. Don't make your five-year-old think they're a college student. Amen? And then there's the young men. Ooh, that's where most of us are in this church. Young men. Young men overcome the evil one. Guess what? If you've never actually been in a real trial yet, I'm talking about the devil's trying to get your stuff kind of trial or take you out kind of trial, you're not even a young man, you're a child. Enjoy your childhood, but grow in God, amen? Because when the young man phase hits and Holy Spirit says, here it is, we are now young, these are now the next generation of young men. It's not about age, it's about walking with God, right? And then all of a sudden, has anybody hit the young man stage? For me, it was like all hell broke loose. The devil did not hold back anything. He killed my daughter right in front of me. He made my son sick for years. He had me thrown out of churches. I mean, I'm talking about, I know that I went through a lot to overcome, amen? But there was a lot of junk in me that needed to die, amen? I'm not at all saying you have to go through such terrible things, amen? Be a Timothy and learn. Fall in love with God. Hang on to God. Hear his word. Believe his word, amen? Let him deal with you without. So when the thing, everything that came at me, I won, even over grief and sorrow, amen? If I had it to do now, oh, if I had learned this, if I'd known this, do I think my daughter would still be here? I really do. I really do. I so 100% do. Because he's a good God. But is it okay that he took my sorrow and my grief? Is it okay that his word is that true? Is it okay that he's faithful even when I'm not? Is it okay that I get to see her forever? Yes! What a good God, amen? Is it okay that he took what was meant for evil from Satan and turned it around to where we're helping all these orphans in India and falling in love with people and going to nations and preaching and teaching and writing a book that's really going to shake things up when it comes to healing? Yes! Amen? Because get this, guys, in this new covenant, he is inside of us. If he's not inside of you, you're not in the covenant. Amen? And when he's inside of us, he's taking us, what, from glory to glory. And so we go through the young man stage. And then there comes the father stage. All this is in the covenant. All this is in scripture. I'm not making this up. I'll show y'all where if you want. I think that's in John, 1 John probably. And then the father stage, they're the ones, and we need more real fathers, amen? They're the ones who've overcome the enemy. They're the ones who can stand up like Nilo or myself or different ones, and some people are in different areas they've overcome, in other areas they haven't, right? And they can actually say, let me help you with this, like Paul did with Timothy. Let me show you things. Let me help you understand this, amen? And then, besides that growth in the kingdom and the family, he has this awesome position in there along that time where somewhere people become his friend. Now, how do you know when you're his friend? Because he tells you things he doesn't tell everybody else. And he shows you things that are coming, and he talks to you about things. They're all, it comes to pass, amen, but it's in his word. A friend is somebody who really just wants God. Who really just wants God. And you're so willing to walk through all these phases led by his Holy Spirit without getting bitter, amen? Without twisting scripture, without giving up, without being pressured by people to do it the way they want to do it, amen? And you just keep going after God. You keep going after God. Can I just tell you this morning? If you would just determine in your heart, I am going after God and I'm going after truth. I remember I told the Lord after my daughter died, I said, God, I just want truth. I actually, even before that, when I started going after God, when I was about, I don't even know how old I was, 24, something like that. 24, you guys, is it? When I really started going after God, I said this to God. I said, I just want truth. I even started to read the Book of Mormons. Okay, and I got to that part in the very beginning, and I don't recommend this, and it says, ask now, and the Spirit will show you that this is real. So I said, is this real? And God said, no. I said, okay. You know, I worked for a Mormon company. My book is actually in the tabernacle. It used to be in the Utah tabernacle thing or whatever. I worked for these Mormons. I actually led the prophet from 20 years ago now, niece to the Lord in my house. The word of knowledge God gave me. Scared me, though, because this girl, they act like they got it all together. And when I would go, I was like their best, one of their best salespeople for these coupon things for fundraising, and they would just be so amazed because we'd win cruises, we'd go on trips, and I actually didn't drink, and I really didn't cuss, and I didn't smoke, and I didn't even gamble, and they were like, you would be such a good Mormon, you're actually holier than a Mormon. Led by the Holy Spirit. It so impressed them. And then we won a trip, and we're all supposed to go on to the Mormon, was it, tabernacle, whatever it is. And it was a big deal to get to go on this tour. And I'm like, I can't go. They're like, what? I said, I can't go. They're like, what do you mean you can't go? There are other Christians groups. I said, because there's too many demons in there. I really don't want to go in and feel them, you know, attacking me and stuff. So I prefer not to go. And they told me, they said, you just stand out. Because you really believe, most Christians don't believe what they preach. They never farm me. And then this impressed them more than anything. When my daughter died, I was right in the beginning of a sale, and I had, I don't know how many books. I can't remember anymore. It was coupon books, 20 or 30, 40,000 coupon books. I don't even know what it was. And what I did, I got schools and all to give them away. And they thought, oh, no. This is going to be a disaster. She's not going to sell any. We're going to lose all this money. I had a 95% sell. They couldn't believe it. They go, how were you able to do this? And at the exact same time that my daughter died, their friend's daughter died. And our son, I'm not sure. But when we were talking later, they're like, they never got over it. They're so bitter. They're so angry. I said, they need Jesus Christ. See, I'm not afraid to be light and darkness, but I don't act like darkness and then call myself light. And it's not a self-righteous thing. Can I just say that? It's not a self-righteous thing, okay? When your life stinks, okay, and every normal area of your life is terrible, then don't be excited because you don't smoke, drink, or curse. Amen? I'm not talking about self-righteous. Well, I don't do that. Well, you might not like to smoke, drink, or curse. Big deal. Amen? I'm not talking about looking at a few things and pointing it out. I mean, I'm talking about I don't sin because the Holy One is in covenant with me and he's changed my life and he's turned me around and he deals with my heart and even little issues that get in the way between him and I don't want them inside of me. And the reason there's no condemnation is I recognize they don't belong there. They don't belong there. You are not what the devil has done to you, and you are not what he's put into you. Amen? Amen? And when you get that, when you really get that, how can there be condemnation? How can there be condemnation when the Holy Spirit comes and says, hey, your thinking here is wrong. I want to see you healed. Let's get rid of this wrong thinking. Okay. Yeah, but if you get rid of that wrong thinking, what if people don't like your preaching anymore? I don't care what man thinks. If it's not in the Word, yeah, get upset. But if it's not only in the Word, and it explains the Word, and it brings forth the Word, and it's anointed by the God of the Word, then yay, let's change our thinking, amen? So anyway, so there's friend. There comes a time, and you'll know when it is, and it's not because you got in line and somebody prayed for you. And can I just say this? Everything that you do through formulas is eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Amen? When you read somebody's book, let Holy Spirit show you what he wants to give you in that book and throw the rest out. Amen? You don't have to go through something horrible to find God. But Jesus does promise you're going to have trouble. Amen? Amen? And my trouble is not worse than your trouble because I'm more called than you. That's a lie. Jesus was the most called of anybody. And he seemed to overcome everything. Amen? There are people who don't know God at all who go through worse things than any of us have ever even dreamed of. Right? So get rid of these false ways of puffing ourselves up. Amen? Satan's evil. He hates us. Can I hear an amen? Satan's evil, he hates every one of you. He doesn't hate me more than he hates you, amen? He just hates everybody because we're made in the image of God. And then when Holy Spirit lives in us, then he has one agenda, stop them from growing in Christ, because if they grow up in Christ, we are in trouble. Keep them religious. Keep them in sin. Do whatever you can. Get their doctrine off. Do whatever you can because Satan is so afraid of us. He's just so afraid of us. If we really, really enter into the rest, amen? If we really enter into this covenant, amen? And so then after friend, and hanging out with God and being his friend, which let me tell you, is awesome. It's worth death to self, okay? You have a sound mind when he's your friend, okay? You don't have fear. He deals with all these things, okay? Part of my heart wants to bust a delusion so you can enter into the real, amen? Bust delusion that holds you in bondage, that nobody's impressed with, amen? And enter into a place that's real with God, amen? Enter into a place that's real with God. Is there anybody here who walks with God and he's never required you to give up something? Let me word it this way. Is there anybody here who walks with God and he has required you to give up stuff? We have a Father God who claims us as his own. And what does he say in the new covenant? I'm going to correct you. I'm going to rebuke you. I'm going to turn things around. I am a good, good father, as the song says. Amen? He's so good. So then, as you mature in your friend, and you get to know him, and you hang out with him, and can I just encourage you, let him take you, hold Holy Spirit's hand, and walk this journey, because it's awesome to get to the place of a friend. When you get to a place of friend, and you hear about typhoons and things, you honestly don't just go to pulling out the sword of the Spirit, which is good, the scriptures, but you actually say, I usually say, am I supposed to die now? Like, is that something we want to do? And he laughs and says, no, not yet. It's okay. All right, well, that's good. Then, I mean, that's good, I guess. Okay. But anyway, so, and I'll say things like, am I good? Are you gonna take care of me now? Because when he's a friend, you really talk to him like a friend. You know, hang out with him, say, you know, Lord, what's your favorite color? And he'll say, you've never seen those colors. Amen? And so there's just this awesome time, and start just entering into that. And then the final place he calls us to is bride. And that's like, that's why the devil hates marriage. If he can make you have a terrible marriage, you won't understand how awesome it is to have a relationship where you're like so walking life together, that you care about your children so much, and you care, and you take care of your home so much, and you care when something's happening, and it's like this deep, deep commitment and love that grows and grows and just and just really seeing that person for who they are. And God's like, I want to bring you into the closest relationship that's possible with me. An intimate, I'm going to hang out with you, and I am going to so rock your world. Can I just tell you, as we grow up in this covenant and we walk through this and we don't pretend we're where we're not, but we get hungry to go where we want to be, amen? And then there's this thing with God that, I'm not kidding, you can spend hours with him just, oh my gosh, saturating you. Your spirit is more alive than your mind. And so when I started this conversation, whatever we're having, the Lord came the other night in a powerful way, and he put Hebrews into my spirit. And as we get into this over the next few months, he's going to reveal things from his word that's going to set you free and change you. Amen? And we're in a covenant. Actually, we're in an agreement with God. And Jesus was the blood sacrifice. He was what was sacrificed. He paid the price for this covenant with God. Amen? And when he did that, okay, when he did that, he took care of every single sin, from the big ones to the little ones, that you or anybody in the human race had ever committed or would ever commit. And he died for it. Amen? He was that sacrifice. And then he took the punishment in this covenant. And the Bible says that he tasted the grave and he tasted Hades. He tasted hell for us. He actually took our punishment. He not only became the sacrifice that pleased the Father to say, okay, blood has to be shed. Sinless, without blemish, lamb. But Jesus also paid the punishment by spiritually being separated from the Father. That's why when he came back, Christ said, Father, why have you forsaken me? That had never happened in all the time that the Father and the Son were separated. Wow. Nobody in here will ever understand how hard that was for God. How hard that was for the Lord. We can't even imagine being God and knowing we're going to be separated from the very source of our deity, of who we are. Amen? We can't even imagine it. The closest thing would be if you really walk with God and you're born again and you love him and you love his presence and you love being led by his spirit and you love just as much as you can love, and all of a sudden it's gone so that somebody else can be saved. As we get ready to go into worship, I pray that we mature in this house and we recognize how awesome it is to be in covenant with God. That we recognize in our heart how unbelievably great it is that we get to have a relationship with God. Wow. That we understand that this isn't about what he gives me and what he does for me and all that. This is about a relationship with God. Can I tell everybody, look, your relationship on Facebook is not real. Those relationships, if you have a relationship, like if you already have a relationship with somebody, then that's like communicating. That's cool, right? But you don't really have a relationship with people that you don't even know if they're telling the truth. And my prayer is the enemy is trying to disconnect people from relationship because he wants to disconnect the body of Christ from a relationship with God. Amen? And my prayer in this house is that we have the greatest relationship with God that is humanly possible on this side of heaven. Amen? And it's all about him. It's all about him. It's all about getting to know him. And that we're not trying to be anybody or be where we're not, and we're not competing. when I say these things, I'm saying these things to stir you up in the right kind of jealousy, the Bible says. I want you to be jealous to know God. Amen? I want you to be jealous. When I see somebody like Heidi Baker, I get jealous to know God. Amen? When way, way back when I first saw Benny Hinn, I didn't tear him apart and say it wasn't fake, it was all fake. I just looked at him and said, I want to know you like that. I want to know you like Catherine. What's her name? Coleman knows you. I want to know you. I want to know you, God. That's how the Jews are supposed to get hungry for Jesus. We're supposed to stir them to jealousy. But if we live in the old covenant of doing works and trying to do things right and seeing how much we can do and being bitter because we can't do that much, amen, then we're not stirring. But if I live in a place of hearing God, see, when you walk with God and you know God and we worship him, we're worshiping him in spirit and truth. Amen. Spirit and truth, not just truth and not just spirit. How many, whether you're just at the servant master, amen, which we always stay there, amen, or you're the infant going, oh, I'd like to grow up finally. I don't want to blame God for everything. I want to understand his ways. Or if you're the child and it's like, yay, this is fun, let's worship, yay. Amen? Wherever you're at in your walk with God, it's between you and God. And so let's worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen? Father, we just open our spirit to you. If you're not born again in this place, if you have no idea what I'm talking about, then I encourage you, ask Jesus Christ to be Lord of your life. Ask his Holy Spirit to come in. And if you have never really let go of the flesh enough to feel the presence of God, then just open up your spirit right now. Say, God, I am wide open. My spirit is wide open to you. I encourage you, get out of your seats. I encourage every single person to enter in spirit and truth this morning. You just heard a bunch of truth, amen? Now go and hang out with God. Let's just really hang out with God. Everybody can hang out with God. Everybody in this place can hang out with God. That's your new covenant right, amen? Your new covenant right is that you get to hang out with God, amen? Father, we're coming to you in this new covenant. We're coming to you in the new covenant. And we ask you, Lord, to reveal yourself. We ask you to put your laws in our minds, God. We ask you, Lord, to fill this place up with you. We ask you, Lord, to be so real. And we refuse to believe that you don't want to be with us. We refuse to believe that we can't enter in. We're coming in by the blood of the Lamb. We are coming in by the blood of the Lamb. So this whole month, unless it changes, when I'm ministering anyway, we're going to really be looking at the book of Hebrews. It's such a powerful book. There's about how to have faith and about the covenant and just understanding this God. Amen. And we're not going to get into a lot of Jewish history, but everything God did in Old Testament was a foreshadow of his new covenant, of what it was, how things were going to change. And the church has lived too much in the old covenant, trying to please God, trying to do what's right, trying to read the word and figure out what he wants. That's old covenant. New covenant is by his spirit, the word's revealed to us. Amen? And by his spirit, we taste and see how good he is. This may be strange for some people. I can't tell you how much you'll fall in love with him if you're coming to the new covenant. He's not asking you to try to be good. He's asking you to hang out with him because he is good. And when I hang out with him, his goodness rubs off on me. And I want to be like him. I'm not trying to be good so that he'll love me, because he already loves me. It's like when I see him, then the things of the world just aren't that big a deal. And then I softened my heart so he could say, Cindy, we're going to deal with this. We're going to deal with how you feel about this. We're going to deal with how you handle this. Because those are things you're doing because of painful things in your life. How many in this place are so thankful that he took our sins? How many are so thankful that you guys, there are sins back there that he needed to take? Amen. How many know I am not throwing stones at anybody? I tell you, we need to pray for this generation. We need to pray. I don't know of any generation in all history who is going to need to walk in the power of God and his love like this generation right now.